have different Father's Day messages. Sometimes I rotate them around, Mother's Day too. I was thinking on one I hadn't preached before, or if I have, I can't remember it and redid it. So, but I thought about David's words as a father to his son Solomon. They were solemn words because they were his final words. And David knew they were his final words. And final words are often of very great import, you know, particularly when someone has time to reflect upon them and formulate them ahead, which David did by God's sovereign grace and providence. And we think in words, we could think of a lot of them, you know, final words, last words that in our heads to some of us, which most readily comes to mind, something like, let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the trees, Stonewall, or Nathan Hell, I regret that I have but one life to give. And young Sam Davis, you know, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all rather than betray a friend. More and more. I think it's in this week's paper or next week's about that young lady that was executed by the Nazis that was a partisan, and they put a rope around her neck. And they said, you know, if you tell us, identify your commanders and compatriots, and we'll let you go. And she said, you'll know them when they come to avenge me. And, you know, kind of those kind of words ring with us. These words in particular, by a father to a son, from a king to a king, these words of David, who the scriptures tell us was a man after God's own heart, to Solomon, who had recently ascended to the throne of Israel, from one generation to the next generation, to Solomon, who we're told was the world's wisest man, and yet we see revealed in Scripture he proved to also be one of the most foolish. We're going to look at 1 Kings 2 and beginning in verse 1, read down through verse 4. And really, the passage here, David had more to say, more details to Solomon about more particulars, but his main message here, there was an earlier message that was kind of more general given earlier. But as David realizes that his days will soon pass, 1 Kings 2 and verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. This passage tells us again that there in verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all earth. You know, all fathers are naturally concerned with the legacy they're going to leave to their children. And not just naturally, but a man of God, a man like David, was concerned spiritually with the legacy that he would pass on to his children, particularly Solomon, who would ascend to the throne, or had ascended, had been anointed, to the throne of Israel. And we see many examples of similar circumstances in Scripture, where someone realizes that his days are drawing to a close, and he seeks to pass on instruction and guidance to those that will follow him. Sometimes physical children, sometimes spiritual children, if you will, spiritual charges. Sometimes the broader nation. Just a couple examples that come to mind that cast some light on this as well. Jacob, as he died, he called his sons round about his deathbed. We read in Genesis 49, and we won't read the whole passage, but set the context. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear ye, sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Now, listen to what I have to tell you. Give heed to these things that are going to befall you, these things that are to come. Solomon received these words from David, and we'll touch on it some. Solomon didn't live up to that wisdom, didn't live up to the words always, but even as Solomon was the time was coming that he was to pass, he was concerned with the instructions he would pass on to his own son. Some of the instruction we find in Proverbs 31, a passage we often sometimes use on Mother's Day, where Solomon speaks of the blessed woman. And Proverbs 31, and beginning in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, which many believe, which I believe was a special name that Bathsheba had given to Solomon. For the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Now, he wanted to pass on the things he'd learned, certainly from David, but also from his mother. Paul instructs his spiritual son, his spiritual charge, Timothy, as Paul sees that his death approaches. In 2 Timothy 4, in verse 1, we read, Paul says to Timothy, pastor of the church at Ephesus, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, as we get up in years, or as we see the approach of the executioner, we're concerned about what we've taught and left. And I could preach many sermons on what Paul says to Timothy, but that's not what we're going to deal with today. But we live in that kind of age that Paul was warning Timothy of. Peter, the Apostle Peter, gave charges to his spiritual descendants. In 2 Peter 1, in verse 12, Peter says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle." He's saying he's going to lay aside this body. David's about to die. Paul's about to die. Concerned with what they pass on. And Peter says, "I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." You know, the legacy is what we pass on, what we leave with those that follow me. Peter said, "I was concerned with these things. I'm about to die, as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." And you think back there when Peter was there with John, and Peter saying, "What's going to happen? What's going to happen to this fellow John?" And the Lord said, "Don't you worry about that." He said, "Peter, the time's going to come. They're going to take you, and they're going to bring you places you don't want to go. And basically, they're going to do things to you you don't want to have done to you." You know, the Lord had warned Peter, and he was prepared for these things. And Peter wants to warn those that follow him. You know, we need to pass on, to warn those that follow us, that they might be prepared to stand and for what may come unto them. And with the passing of Moses, it was mainly God, with Moses passing, that passes on these things to Joshua. But the same principle in Joshua 1 in verse 7. God says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." What more could we want for our children? "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Joshua, we'll see a little bit later, he kind of passes on, has that same concern, passes on to the broader nation of Israel as he's about to pass from the same. And we could cite many, many others from Scripture. What are we going to pass on to those that follow us? You know, the Scripture says here, David is preparing to, quote, "go the way of all the earth." Sometimes we don't think about that. Sometimes when we're younger, it doesn't seem possible. But we're all going to go the way of all the earth. And when David's referred to in this passage, he's not referred to as King David. He's called David. And that's true. Solomon had already been anointed for a while. They were basically co-regents, I guess you could call. That may have been some of the reasons, but the fact is, he's not King David anymore. he's not distinguished from other men in this aspect. He's going to go the way of all the earth. David is going to go the way that all men go, and from which none can escape. The Old Testament saint Job tells us in Job 14 and verse 5, speaks concerning men. He says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God's already determined. You know, we're not supposed to be presumptuous. You know, like Satan told the devil, you know, jump off the temple and the angels will come say, but we're to trust. I'm not turning to Dr. Fauci to save me from death. I'm not fearful of those things. The Lord's determined. I don't trust. Not that God hasn't used doctors to some extent, and you know that they can, but you all know me, I don't trust hardly none of them. But that's beside the point. Our days are determined. They're in his hand. We're not going to go a day before he's ready for us to go. And we're not going to stick around a day longer either. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. You know, if we think on these things, we'll think about what we need to pass on to those who follow us, like David's concerned here, instructing Solomon. In Hebrews, I believe it's Paul that says, in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, it's appointed unto men once to die. I don't know why it's stuck in my head now. I think about that old Airborne album I had. Was it the 101st that has the song, We Have a Rendezvous with Destiny? Yeah, well, we all have a rendezvous with death. Okay. We have a rendezvous with death. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. You know, it's well to think on these things and what we're going to leave behind and what we're going to leave to those that come after us. And as I mentioned before, God had kind of given, as Moses was passing from the scene, God had given instructions to Joshua. And as Joshua is prepared to leave the scene, we read in Joshua 23 and verse 14. Listen to what he says, much like what David says. Joshua says, Joshua 23:14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. It was that way in Joshua's day. It was that way in David's day. Rather than it's that way in our day. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are to come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua says, I'm getting ready to leave. But God's still faithful. He done everything he said he would do, and he's going to do everything he said he was going to do. And so we do well to think on these things. And David's rightly concerned with the example, with the directions that he leaves unto Solomon. And thus should we fathers be concerned. Not only with words, but by the example we leave our children. David's example wasn't perfect. I'm kind of thinking mine hasn't been either. You know, David had some marvelous achievements, and I can't even catalog them all. You think of Goliath and coming to the throne and all the many other things, and Yet he had failings. Numbering Israel. I think about, and I may mention some of these later as well, but numbering Israel. And then, you know, when he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, he does it the Philistines' way. And bad things happen. And we think of the episode with Bathsheba. You know, God's providence is still at work. God's providence is at work in all these things. Better for us, God's grace is at work. See. So marvelous achievements and some momentous failures on the part of David. But he's concerned with what he's going to pass on to his son. With his words, with his deeds. You know, sometimes, most of you have heard me say in the past, you know, when you see somebody compromises or will resort to the methods of the world in order to get success within the church or to prosper in this life. And I often ask this question. I say, yeah, and then you die. And then what? You know, you compromised, you went the way of the world, you did all these things, and you were counted as success and prosperous in the eyes of the world, but then you die. And what does all that apparent success profit you? But beyond that individual accounting, appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment, what about those we leave behind? See? Then you die, and then what? Not just of your standing before the Lord, but of those people that are still here. Your descendants, your posterity. And then what? Yes, then what? And so David's thinking on these things. And he says to Solomon, so we continue on there at the end of verse 2. He says, "Be thou strong, therefore, and shew thyself a man." If you break it down, you can say this is part of the first instruction he gives him. He says, "Be strong and show yourself a man." That word "be strong" in the Hebrew just basically means stand on your own two feet. Stand on your own two feet, Solomon, and show yourself a man. Act like a man. Act like an adult. In some ways he's saying, and he perhaps knew Solomon, and some of these things come to the fore later. He's got, you know, you're going to need to grow up, Solomon. Our kids are going to need to grow up. Some people seem, you know, bent on making sure their kids don't grow up. Many today don't grow up. They fail to grow up. They fail to stand on their own two feet. They fail to be men. I'm not leaving out the women, you know. But they fail to be men. You know, many in today's world, they're coddled by their parents. Unfortunately, parents sometimes don't coddle them from some of the worst things that could harm them. But they coddle them and try to give them the sort of stuff they want. Don't make him mad. He'll come up here and bite me. Whatever that is. Okay. Be strong. show yourself a man. Grow up. Now, people are coddled by parents today. They're coddled by government. Look at all the people, they never grow up. They're never made to suffer the consequences of their own actions. You know, Paul said, if a man won't work, then he don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's not what the government says. Government says if a man don't work, we'll take from those who do work and give it to him. And if you look at a lot of those folks that don't work, they seem to eat plenty.
Mm-hmm.
But people are coddled. They remain throughout their life adolescents. That's more and more the case, I see. People my age, and you know, I understand they're just little outward things. When I see guys my age with these earrings in and nose stuff, I mean, people my age, what is wrong with them? Sometimes it will feel like grabbing them and shaking them and say, "Be a man, grow up." Some of you maybe know who. And it's important because David's concerned about what's going to be left behind. Mm-hmm. You know, where things go after he's gone. Not just his accounting, but where things go. Some of you are familiar with, and I sometimes will carry an article from him, though he's not actively writing anymore, Thomas Sowell. Thomas Sowell is a conservative, you know, black economist. And a pretty brilliant fellow, actually. But he's also somewhat of a philosopher. And Saul said this, and David's concerned for the next, because he's not going to be here. I'm going to pass from the scene soon. But my posterity's going to be here. You know, I don't want to get too far apart, but the founding fathers of this nation, how often do you hear them they spoke of their posterity? Who do you think they were talking about? The people taking rafts across the river on the southern border? That isn't who they were talking about. They were talking about their own flesh and blood. And David's concerned with that. He's concerned with the next generation that's coming up. Thomas Sowell says this. Something to think about. He says, each new generation born is in effect an invasion of civilization by little barbarians who must be civilized before it's too late. They're little barbarians. They don't know any better. They don't have any foundation. They don't have any basis. And if we don't pass it on to them, they won't have it. And if they don't have it, as Thomas Sowell says, it's eventually going to be too late. The barbarians are at the gate. And Thomas Sowell says there are children. And I look about me and what's going on in the world today, and I said, yeah, he's right. You know, the barbarians that are at the gate out in Oregon and Washington and all these other places, you know, they're not a foreign invader. Our children. And so who's going to take our place? Who's going to fill our ranks? How are they going to be prepared? That's incumbent upon us. And so David says, be a man, Solomon. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, this is on the, what do you call that? Masthead? You don't call it the masthead. Whatever, of my paper. What do you call that up there? Masthead? you know, where you have a little saying up there about all the news that's fit to print. What do they call that thing?
I thought it was masthead.
Okay, it's masthead then. I thought it was too, but it didn't sound right. But on the masthead of our paper, I have this verse in 1 Corinthians 16, and verse 13. Paul says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Quit you like men, be strong." That doesn't make a sense to people in, you know, modern day English. They say, what does it mean, quit like a man? Quit you like man. Well, that word quit means to fulfill your duty, to fulfill your charge. If you quit like a man, you've done your duty. You've accomplished your task. Stand ye fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Do your job. Accomplish your task. Other examples of that. One of them came to my mind. It's kind of odd in this context, because if you read the rest of this passage, we're not going to get into it. But as David gives instructions to Solomon, he gives some more specific instructions about folks that he's going to have to deal with and how he ought to handle them. And one of them he talks about is Joab. And, you know, there was kind of a checkered history between Joab and David at times. But Joab was a great general in the army. And as he spoke to the officers and men of the army of Israel, Joab said this in 2 Samuel 10:12. He said, "Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good to him." Let's play the men. Be men. And I think the most important thing for a father to be is to be a man. And the most important thing that he can teach his sons and pass on to the next generation is to be a man. I suppose that's politically incorrect. I suppose that's kind of gender exclusive. God has roles and functions and places for all of us. We would all be undone without women and mothers. But, men, here's the message for you today. Be a man! I don't care how politically incorrect that is, or how gender exclusive it is, or how it doesn't speak to all the 50 other genders, whatever they might have. Somebody, no, don't explain it to me. I don't even want to know. True manhood comes, and as we continue on here in this passage, and we'll look at the details that Paul gives about, not Paul, that David gives about being a man. True manhood comes from obedience to the Word of God. True manhood comes from discharging your duty. It doesn't have really anything to do with physical prowess or mental acuity. It has to do with doing your duty. Quit you like a man. Do what you're told to do, what your job is. And again, today things are so messy, we're paying people not to work. Right? The girls took me out to eat yesterday and we talked about whatever. They went ahead and they tacked on. We didn't realize it until Heidi had filled the paperwork out. And since there were a bunch of us at the table, they went ahead and already put in the gratuity. And so Heidi had figured out, and she said, "Oh no, they already put one in." So she still gave her a little. I said, "You know what? I try to tip well because I want to encourage people that want to work. Mm-hmm. You know? That want to do their duty. And above all things, a man does his duty. Not by how tough you are, or that, hey, I went through Marine Corps training, or I jumped out of airplanes, and I did. So what? Be a man. Do your duty. General Lee reminded us, we think upon that. General Lee said, duty, then, is the sublimest word in the English language. You should do your duty in all things. You can never do more. You should never wish to do less. Do your duty. And trust God. We'll get into more of that. It's like when General Lee talked about, in a different context, he said, you know, I'm not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim, ought to be our desires. I mean, that was in the midst of a great, terrible conflict, and things weren't always going well. But he said, you know, I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned at the will of God. I'm concerned that I do my duty. And David's going to continue on here, and he's going to get into some detail and unravel this stuff about doing your duty, about fulfilling your obligations. And we're gonna deal with the rest of it as we go on, but it's most of us already know that, basically. We understand what's required of us. And we need to study and know God's Word. We'll get on as well that a part of the task that he gives Solomon, he says, do everything that's written in the law of Moses. And you know what? The kings of Israel were required to have a copy. And that was their guide. That was their reference. This is our guide. This is our reference. And so David is going to go the way of all flesh, just like we all are. But he's concerned about what he passes on to his son and to the next generations. And we ought to be concerned with those things. And we ought to be concerned with being a man. And by the grace of God, raise up other men to his glory. Okay, we'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. 'Twas in the Father's plan. And let me tell you something, whatever it was in his plan.
Right.
Let's stand as we sing out number 269, 'Twas in the Father's plan.
Twas in the Father's plan that Jesus died for me. To pay the price for sin, did go to Calvary. Twas in the Father's plan, he left his glorious home. To journey into earth to save me for his own. Oh, hallelujah, wondrous mystery. Oh, hallelujah, he's set me free. Before the world in order had begun, through faith in Jesus Christ, God sent me as his son. Was in the Father's plan how his great grace for me. Through times long in this day of life full and free, was in the Father's plan that in eternity I shall his face behold and in his likeness be. Oh, hallelujah, wondrous mystery. Oh, hallelujah, grace has set me free. Before the world and order had begun, through faith in Jesus Christ, God set me as his son. wondrous mystery. Oh, hallelujah, is this that
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here, for your hand of protection as they travel to be with us. Pray you keep your hand on them as they travel home. Father, we thank you for your preserved word, instructions that you give us there, for your grace. Father, we think of those that went before us and what they've passed on by your grace. And Lord, we as fathers think of our own mortality. The day will come that we'll go the way of all flesh. Father, we pray that by your grace that we've quit ourselves like men. That we've passed on to our descendants the desire to do their duty, to stand on their own two feet, to be men, and to realize they can only do that as they obey your will. And Father, we realize we can only obey your will by your grace. Father, I pray that that might be the desires of our heart. I pray your hand upon each of the fathers here and on each of our offspring. We pray that they might grow to be servants that glorify thee. Father, thank you for the privilege of being your people. Lord, of being used of thee throughout our life. And thank you, Lord, as fathers, for the privilege of discharging that role before our families, before our acquaintances, or that role that you call yourself by, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you are our Father. We thank you for your eternal love. We thank you for our Savior, as atonement for his people, for the work of the Spirit, gave us life, and drew us unto yourself. And we just pray that we might glorify our Heavenly Father. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.